We are honored to have Brother Leonard Fletcher, the pastor of Dyson's Grove Baptist Church in Mountain City, Tennessee. I love this man of God. One thing that stands out to me about Brother Leonard, he's the same every time I see him. I've never seen him. I know he gets discouraged, I do, but he doesn't show that. And I appreciate him just being the same. And he's God's man. God's got his hand on him. And he's right here at this time for this service here tonight. You hear him gladly. I love you, brother.
Well, I appreciate that introduction from Brother Dagenhart. I appreciate the privilege to be here. It's one of those meetings that I look forward to, but also dread it. I have to explain that. Meetings like this unnerve me. They always have. And you say, well, you put yourself up here in front of this crowd to see what it'll do to you. Now, I've been at this. This ain't my first rodeo. I've pastored to the same church for 30 years, preached camp meetings all over the country. But somehow or another, Steve Dagenhart just unnerves me. When Brother Fox came walking over through there at that microphone, I felt like I was on death row and I heard him walking toward my cell. I'm reminded of what my buddy that's in heaven, Brother Charles Worley, used to tell me. He said when he's in a meeting like this and they brought that microphone to him, he'd just as soon they hand him a live hand grenade. Amen. But anyway, I'm honored to be in the fellowship with the men of God that are here in this meeting. And I appreciate folks that are still trying to do stuff the old time way. I appreciate. You know, the thing about it is we got a lot of run around hollering how old-timey they are, and you don't need to tell folks if you're old-timey. They'll figure it out. I don't need a flag to wave or anything like that to show somebody that I'm still trying to stay where my forefathers did, but I appreciate Brother Blanton and the folks singing and appreciate their ministry and how God's using them all over the country, and I appreciate you being here. They said you had some good meetings already. I've watched just a few clips online. We've been in meeting at our church this week with Brother Jimbo Seaton, and we had a tremendous 3 days with him and just had a good time. Romans chapter 12, and I'm going to give you a very simple thought. If you've ever heard me preach, you understand I'm not going to give you nothing earth-shattering or deep or anything like that, but I'll try to be a help to you from the Word of God. Romans chapter number 12. And I want to read verse 1 and 2. Just two verses for our reading tonight. Romans chapter number 12. And verses 1 and 2. The Bible says this: I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. And Lord, I pray that you would help us tonight for just a few minutes, God, that we might bring the thought that you've impressed upon our heart for this hour, Lord. I thank you for this privilege, and I ask you, Lord, to touch us now and help us by your grace. And God, we'll give you praise for what you do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Two very powerful verses here in the book of Romans, directed to the believer. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. That sounds pretty radical, doesn't it? That sounds extreme, to present your body as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. But here's where God qualifies it. He said, which is your reasonable. God is not asking his children to do anything unreasonable. He's asking us to submit ourselves unto him, our bodies, that, of course, when he saves us, that we might be used in service to him, and it is a reasonable service. But verse number 2 is where I really want to go tonight. And he said, and be not conformed to this world. Now, we as God's children have the capability of being conformed to the world. Matter of fact, we've got a deformed church world today because we've been conformed to the world and not transformed by the renewing of our mind. Well, it's easy. We live in a world that's trying to bend us and move us and make us into its image. But he said you're going to have to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And here's where I want to get to, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. When you talk about the will of God, many times people have questions about that, and every one of us, I guess, at some point in our lives have wondered what God's will was for our lives. There may be somebody here tonight underneath this tabernacle, you're searching for God's will, and maybe in a situation in your life, maybe a young person here, and you say, what is God's will for my life? Well, there's a few things that it's certainly God's will, and number one, it's the will of God that you be saved. He tells us in the scripture, he said, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So it's God's will for you to be saved. But I thought about it, not only is it his will for you to be saved, but it's his will for you to serve him and submit to him in your life. I began to think about that very idea. When you think about the will of God, people will say different things. Some think it is a mysterious thing that's only for the ministry and those who surrender to go to a foreign field. But friend, the will of God applies to every child of God. God has a perfect will of God for every Christian in this tabernacle tonight. He said that you may prove. That word prove means to discern or examine. He said, what is that good? That means beneficial to you in your life. And he said, and acceptable. That means pleasing or satisfactory. And then he comes down and says, and perfect. That's complete or fulfilled. God desires that every one of us live a life as a child of God that is acceptable, satisfactory, and fulfilled in the will of God. It's his desire that we do that tonight. Sometimes it's difficult, or we make it difficult to know the will of God. We've made it such a mysterious thing that it's almost like we feel like we can't know the will of God, when the truth of the matter is, it's really simplistic. It really is. We're awfully good in the church world of making simple things complex. Yes, and I fear that we've done that with the will of God. We've made it sound as though you can't know it. We've made it sound as though you can't fulfill it. Matter of fact, some people might even get the idea, I'm so small and insignificant that God don't even care about my life. I don't care who you are, what station in life you're in, what status you are, what your pedigree is. It doesn't matter. God has a perfect will for your life. I began to think about that one day, and I was brought to a thought about something. Sometimes when we start out in life, wouldn't it be great if we knew the day we got saved, if God just rolled a screen back and showed us the whole picture of what our Christian experience would be, wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? But the truth of the matter is, there's a lot of unknown out there in the journey. We don't know, even in life itself. And I began to think about that. I brought something with me tonight to illustrate this thought. I was looking at something one day, and I brought this with me. It's a box. Got this box right here. In the mountains of East Tennessee, when I was a boy, a lot of times we'd have hard winters, and sometimes we'd be out of school 2 or 3 weeks, at a time being the house couldn't get out and go nowhere. That was back before cable TV, satellite TV. That was back while we still had a phone hanging on the wall, if you had one. And we didn't have the internet. We didn't have cell phone. We didn't have none of that. So in order to occupy yourself, you had to, if you snowed in for several days, many times you resorted to board games. But this was one thing that I saw that was used quite a bit in those days. And this is a jigsaw puzzle.
Yes, sir.
Us older folks know all about this. The younger folks probably ain't got the patience to work on them. But I've seen in my day, I remember as a young man when I'd go in, matter of fact, a lot of my family and some of them, you'd go in there, and in the winter months, they'd have one table. They'd have it just set aside, and they'd have a puzzle that they had started, and they'd periodically work on it. They wouldn't try to finish it all at one time, but they'd work. Sometimes at seven, this right here is a 1,000-piece puzzle right here. And I thought about this puzzle. It'd be easy to put it together. And the reason it'd be easy is I can look at the box. But you see, in life, you got to get the pieces together and you can't look at the box. I'm glad to tell you, though, we don't have to look at the box. We can look at the book. And I'm glad God will help us put together the pieces of life, and he'll bring, boy, I tell you what a beautiful picture when God puts his hand on a child of God's life. What a beautiful picture when God begins a work, hallelujah to his name. And boy, I'm glad he's able to bring the pieces together. I'm glad he's able to help you. He's able to make something beautiful out of your life. I got to thinking about this old puzzle. In this journey of this, matter of fact, this puzzle is, I picked it up at the dollar store, and it's got a, you see the picture on there. The title of this is Sunday at the Covered Bridge. Now, this must be a Sunday afternoon, because I don't think they're all laying out of church, but it could be that they are. I don't know. But anyway, everybody on this picture here that I see in this puzzle is happy. Everybody's having a good time. Some's riding horses. Some's taking a stroll. They're just having a good time in this picture. It is a beautiful picture. And the journey of this puzzle started one day in a factory as a beautiful picture that was laid out. But the next step in that journey was this puzzle had to become broken. I mean, it looked good starting out, and then all of a sudden, the next thing you know, it's broke in 1,000 pieces and don't look like you can ever make rhyme or reason out of it. Don't look, it looks like chaos. Matter of fact, it's not only broken, it got boxed up. Hey, a lot of folks in this world tonight, they're not just broken, but they're hemmed into some situation of their life. They're boxed up with alcohol and drugs and all kinds of things. And boy, I tell you what, this old puzzle, there's no way it can get out of where it's at until somebody buys it. I'm glad one day when I was sitting on the shelf, broken by fall, when I was hemmed up and I couldn't find a way to get out, I'm glad there was one who came and says, I'll take it, hallelujah. I'm glad for the day that he bought me, hallelujah, and he began to work in my life, hallelujah to his name. You see, I looked at a lot of puzzles that day, but that one, I was drawn to it for some reason. And I said, I believe I'll take this. And boy, aren't you glad for the day that Jesus came to where you was? And there's no way you could get out of where you're at. No way you could fix yourself. But when Jesus bought me, you see, I've not opened this one yet, but the normal process of this is now, once it gets bought, then you open it up and you begin the building process of putting the picture together. Boy, I'm going to tell you, sometimes we get in a hurry for the will of God in our lives. Young person, listen to me. I thought about when they're putting them puzzles together, there's several things that that I always would try to do. If I was putting one together, first of all, you wouldn't start trying to find a centerpiece. But you'll find a corner piece. I believe starting with the cornerstone would be a good spot. And then you find pieces that match. Can I say to you, there's a lot of folks, I've seen them do this. My sisters would do this sometimes. They was younger than me, and, you know, they wasn't near as smart as I was. I hope they ain't watching the live stream. But they'd say, I found a piece, right? And they'd try to put it in there. And I'd try to tell them, no, that's not, that don't fit. That ain't. And they say, yeah, it does. And no, it don't. There's a lot of people trying to live their life, trying to squeeze in pieces that God didn't bring to you, God didn't put in your life, and you're going to make a mess out of your life if you don't follow God's will and you don't do what God have you to do. You're going to make a mess of your life. I think back over my life and how close a few times I was to blowing it. I've been pastoring 30 years, Dyson Grove Baptist Church. Me and my wife have been married 42 years. I remember when I first laid eyes on my wife, they had invited us to come sing at Flat Springs Baptist Church, country church out on dirt road up there in Watauga County. Preacher Clyde Cornett was the pastor. I was about 19 maybe. My dad had bought me an old guitar. I'd learned a few chords and went, so he, my sister and him and my aunt, we went over one of them Saturday night singers. Everybody just came in and sang. I didn't want to go that night, Saturday night. Saturday night, I said, Dad, I need to go to town tonight. I need a girlfriend. I ain't got no girlfriend. And there ain't going to be no girls at that church on a Saturday night out in the middle of nowhere, out in the sticks. He said, son, we're going to church. So I grabbed my guitar. We went. We sang that night, and several groups got up. And there's a man and woman got up and sang Paul and Linda Tester. I wasn't half paying attention. I was thinking about them girls in town.
Yes, sir.
Don't look at me. Straighten your halo up. It's sitting crooked on your horns. Some of you outfits, the only reason you went to church was try to find your wife. And that's a good place to find one, by the way. And anyway, that night they sang, and I enjoyed everything. And after service over, got in the car, and my aunt looked at me and said, did you know Paul and Linda Tester is there tonight? I said, no, I didn't know them. She said, yeah, that was Paul and his daughter Linda. I said, you mean to tell me there was an eligible girl in the building and I didn't know it? And I'll be honest with you, and a couple weeks after that, I found out my pastor was going to preach revival meeting at Zion Hill Baptist Church. Pastor Quincy Norris, that was where Paul and Linda Tester went to church. I got the awfulest burden to back my preacher in revival. I mean, I fell under a heavy burden. I began to pray and say, God, I have failed my preacher so much. God, I've let him down, but God, I'm repenting of that. And if you'll give me the gas money, I'm going over there every night to that meeting. And sure enough, I did. 42 years later. But here's the rest of the story. When I first met her, I asked, can I call you? She said, yeah. I said, can I come? Can we go out sometime? And she said, my daddy won't let me go out. When you're 19 and you're conformed to this world, I say, but I was conformed to this world. The world said you got to go out. The world says you got to do it like they do it on TV. The world says you got to do it like this. And her daddy said, we ain't doing it like that. I went over there a couple of times, sat there, and I said, man, this is going nowhere. He'll never let her go nowhere. It's a dead-end street. And I was working in the supermarket business, and there was another girl there that I worked with, and I actually began to date that girl. And for a whole year, dated that girl. She was a nice person. She really was. And all the time, I'm telling you, young people, be careful that you don't mess up the picture that God's trying to paint in your life by getting impatient. You can get impatient waiting on God and mess up your life. But after about a year, I realized that piece didn't fit. Wasn't of the same mindset from a scriptural standpoint. I said, this piece don't fit. And I said, I'm going to call that girl back, see if she'll let me talk to her. And I called her. I said, would you let me come back over? And she said, well, Dad won't let me go nowhere. I said, don't matter. I said, I'll just come there and we'll sit on the couch and hold hands. And 42 years later, she's been my piano player for 30 years at Dyson Grove Baptist Church. And I came that close of missing God's will, following the conformity of the world. Can I say to you, you better find them pieces that match. You better find them. Sometimes you need help. We'd be putting that puzzle together, and I'd be looking for a piece. I'd say, help me find this piece. Let me tell you something. It don't hurt to rely on people who've got spiritual wisdom to help you find some pieces in your life. When I look back over what God has, the picture God's painted in my life, I could have never imagined it. If you'd have told me 35 years ago I'd be standing where I'm standing tonight, I said, you're crazy. But I'm going to tell you something. And it ain't happened because I'm anything. It ain't happened because I'm brilliant or talent, none of that. I'll tell you how it happened. I just said, God, whatever your will is, I'm willing to try to do it if I can. I'm willing to try to do it, God. And I ain't always done a good job at it. I've not always submitted my body as a living sacrifice. There's been a lot of time my old flesh didn't want to submit as a living sacrifice. I'll be a little more honest than some of y'all can be. But can I say to you right now, the greatest thing you'll ever do, young person, is to give your life wholly to God and say, God, everything I am, everything I hope to be, it's in you, and I'm trusting you. I'm giving you everything in my life. And God will do some wonderful things. I thought about looking at putting your life together without looking at the box. We don't know. You see, if God let us look at the box, even in the Christian journey, there's some pieces that we wouldn't want in our life. I mean, the Christian journey ain't always just flowers and roses and happy times. As Brother Blanton said, there's times you're discouraged, and there's times the battle's raging, and there's times that you say, and the devil's saying, why don't you just quit, throw up your hands, give in, and wave the white flag of surrender. But I got news for you right now. I've done seen enough of the picture. I've not seen it all put together yet, but I've seen enough of it to know that I've come too far not to stick with him now. Hallelujah. I got news for you right now. Some of you right now, you can't see the whole picture. You only see part of it. But I'm here to tell you, you just stick with it. You do what God would have you to do. One day you're going to stand on the mountaintop and look back down over what God's done. And you're going to rejoice and you're going to praise him for his blessings and for his goodness. Hallelujah to his name. Because he brought all the pieces together. We'd be putting that puzzle together and get it almost done. And then all of a sudden, the whole thing was about finished. And all of a sudden, there was one piece missing. One piece. And you'd say, well, did it fall off the table? Did it? And everybody'd go on a search then. Where's that piece at? You'd move furniture and everything else trying to find that last piece. There's a lot of people building what appears to be beautiful lives in this world. They've got a good job. They've got a beautiful family. I mean, it seems like they got everything they want in this life. But they're going to come down to the end of the way. And there's one piece that's missing. And that's Jesus. I got news for you. I don't care how beautiful your life may seem. Without Jesus, it's all in vain. Can I say to you tonight, let me beg you tonight. He said that we might prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. And I'm glad that God will reveal to us His will in our life. And you can put together the pieces without looking at the box. Just look at the book and look to Jesus. Father, thank you for what you've done for us tonight. I pray that you'd take this little thought, Lord, as feeble as it's been, use it for your honor and glory tonight. Lord, for some young person here tonight that's desiring God's will for their life, I pray would you help them. And Lord, for some older person that's seeking the will of God in a situation in their life, God, we know you're not going to hide that from us. Lord, you're not going to keep that from us. But Lord, I pray, would you help us? Many times the enemy tries to cloud our thoughts and our vision and our hearts, and Lord, tries to hinder us from that perfect will that you have. And Lord, there may be somebody here tonight that's nearing decisions in their life, and they need to know, God, that perfect will that you have. And God, I thank you that you can do that for us tonight. And God, we ask you to do that in somebody's life. Lord, there's somebody here tonight and there's one piece missing. Lord, it's that Savior that they need. And Father, I ask you tonight, would you just do that you desire to do in every heart and in every life. And Father, we're going to thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Brother Steve, you come.